Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here, getting ready for our Amazing Race wrap-up show here after episode 6 of Amazing Race 26. But before we get to tonight's show, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at TrueCar. Because when you're making a big purchase, like buying a car, say you saw a new Ford on the Amazing Race and you want to pick it up, don't you want a transparent buying process, a process that gives you the confidence to know that you're getting a fair deal? So to really understand the power of transparency, you need to check out TrueCar and TrueCar's mobile app. Because with TrueCar, not only can you configure the car that you want and how you want it, but you can also see what others are paying for the same car you're looking for, down to the zip code. So you know what you can expect to pay for the car that you want. Pretty transparent. So once you decide on the car you want, you can lock in guaranteed savings, on average, over $3,000 off MSRP. Then you'll be connected with a trusted TrueCar certified dealer that will honor your savings without a negotiation. So when you're ready for a new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, never overpay, download the TrueCar app today. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's never bougie, Rob Cicerino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Amazing Race wrap-up show here after episode 6 of the Amazing Race 26. And here I am with a woman who, what do you say, sometimes bougie?
More often not bougie than bougie.
Once in a while.
When the mood strikes,
here she is. It's Jessica Lise. Jessica, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. Would it be fair to say that we are kind of a podcast of the people?
Yes, we are of the people, and we're not bougie.
99%ers, yo.
This is not a bougie podcast. Because if it was, we wouldn't be live streaming. We would just be doing it at our leisure. Instead, we are here with the people on a Friday night. And we got the chat room open on robinswebsite.com. We are taking your tweets. Scott St. Pierre is reading what you guys are saying on Twitter. We're going to take those later in the show. Hashtag RHAP. And of course, we are on YouTube, the least bougie of all the video sharing sites. That is at robinswebsite.com/YouTube.
Yep. If you were being bougie, we'd be on YachtTube or something.
YachtTube. So anyway, yeah, there's other video sharing sites that are probably bougie. Periscope, not bougie either. I hear Meerkat is very bougie though.
Oh, I see. So you're setting up this whole dichotomy here.
Yes. Meerkat, bougie, Periscope is for the people. And so, Jess, here we are on a night when JJ, Team JJ is out.
I've got to say, I like almost everybody that's left on the show, and I'm quite sad to see these guys go, especially since I think they were the race's best hope to actually hook up.
No, I disagree. I feel like Tyler and Laura, I think they are our great romantic hope.
There's still hope there, I guess. We're going to keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive. Yes, we have to, because we are romantics, and if Blind Date Amazing Race doesn't end in somebody hooking up, then what was the point, Jess?
Yeah, and you know, if you can't find love on the Amazing Race, where can you find it?
Yeah, that's right. Why did we do all this then if we weren't going to get somebody shacked up?
Maybe we were doing it to get people to hate each other.
Well, that was the case last week when Bergen and Kurt were the team eliminated. By the way, Jess, did you check out my interview with Kurgan?
I definitely did. And you know, you sold it to me as one of the best ones that you've done all season. And
did I mislead you?
You did not mislead me. It was great. I love those guys.
Was it better than my interview with CJ and Libya?
I would say it is even better than that.
Even better than my interview with CJ and Libya. So the silence, the bar is high.
Yeah, that's a high bar, and you surpassed it.
We surpassed
it. Wide colors.
Yes. No, I really enjoyed talking with Bergen and Kurt, because for me, it was like a deposition. It was, you had people with differing viewpoints of, Kurt, is it true that you felt like a Bergen. Is it true that you said? So it was very, I loved it. I loved
it. And they played along with you. They seemed to be in pretty good spirits. And I think that was the key, because if either one of them had been like legitimately bitter, it would have been a really awkward interview.
Yes, they were not bougie. And so they were very good to talk to. All right. So we're going to talk about a leg in which the amazing race goes to France. And I thought this was a little bit odd for an amazing race leg. Jess, did you have any takeaways for this leg as a whole?
I thought that it was, we've been accusing the amazing race these last few seasons of cutting corners financially. And I think maybe tonight we saw why they were doing that.
They were saving up
for this leg.
Jess, is it a thing now on The Amazing Race that almost like The Amazing Race is treating every leg like a costume party? So the first part of the leg is like, hey, get to a new country and then dress up in these costumes. And then we want you to run each leg in this costume. It's almost like a veto challenge in the Big Brother house where it's like, okay, this week, you're going to wear your Monaco tards for this week. And then next week you're going to be in Africa. And then the first thing you're going to do, you're going to wear, you know, African garb this week. And then it's sort of an excuse to get the teams changing and trying on a new outfit at the start of each week. I mean, this is what, two legs in a row where we're doing this, right?
Yeah, it is. And I think it's one of those things where they took a step back and they said, what do people remember about this show? Like, what is memorable? What do people like? What is entertaining? And they kept coming back to racers wearing funny outfits. And
funny
so
outfits.
They went to the funny outfits well yet again. And honestly, I have no problem with it. I love funny outfits.
But this wasn't funny outfits. This was like that we were getting them ready for the prom.
Well, some of them were pretty funny.
Why? Who had a funny outfit besides?
Well, I know that Ashley was not wild about her outfit.
Yes, she didn't like hers. And Haley told Blair that he looked like Pee Wee Herman.
And he kind of did. And Haley looked like a cartoon character from a, like one of those Tex Avery cartoons where the wolf's eyes pop out of his head.
Wow.
Haley looked like.
Yeah, they gave Haley like a Jessica Rabbit dress.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It was like they were, yeah, expecting like a wardrobe malfunction on this leg of the race. Thank God she didn't have to go on and do the zip line and do the ropes course.
Yeah, I could see that getting pretty, that would be pretty traumatic pretty fast.
Be very traumatic. Yeah, that's a RX for disaster.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I thought Mike drew the short straw in the suit department. Like, he looked very casual. They're supposed to be like super fancy. And you got Tyler looking like the poor man's Justin Timberlake. And then you got Mike in corduroy.
Yeah. I wonder if that was because, you know, it was like that there's various stages of like, there's like very formal, then there's like business casual. And then there's sort of like, you know, t-shirt and jeans. And it was like, I think that maybe Mike was already so far down on the not being dressed up that they felt like you could just bump him up to like business casual. And it was like the same effect as maybe some of the other people.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair point. Like if you know, it's a scale of 1 to 100 on the formality scale. And if everybody else starts at about a 15 and Mike starts at a 5, he can be about 10 points lower when he's all polished.
Yeah. I thought a couple different teams were going to be the team to get eliminated tonight. I did not really get the sense. It was a little bit of a blindside for me that it was going to be Jackie and Jeff being the team that went home.
Well, there was barely any Jackie and Jeff during the episode itself. I felt like we almost didn't see them. I kept like, you know, I'm taking notes while I'm watching the show and pointing out like who arrives at which task and who picks which task. And Jeff and Jackie, you almost like you saw them briefly show up to each thing and then you never saw them again.
Yeah, I would have to say also, I thought that there was a couple different teams that I thought were going to be going out for most of the episode. I thought it was going to be Mike and Rochelle. And then Tyler and Laura, I think, called them a weak team. And I said, oh, it's going to be them.
Karmic retribution.
Yes. I thought it was going to be some karma. I also thought that Matt and Ashley were in the mix to go home on this leg. But yeah, I really wasn't thinking it was going to be Team JJ.
Yeah, well, this was one thing that I thought the race finally is doing well again. So last week for the blog, I watched a whole bunch of really, really early Amazing Race. Like I was watching season 3 episodes and I noticed that they put a bunching point into almost every episode and people used to bitch about it all the time. Like, you know, why are they artificially putting everybody together? And the reason they're putting everybody together artificially at the beginning of each leg is because when you equalize everybody, it increases the chance that you're going to get a surprise elimination. So we got that bunching point this week and we got kind of a surprise elimination and I was happy to see it. It felt like pacing wise, it felt a lot like really old school Amazing Race. And I really responded to that.
Yeah, and everybody was really bunched up at the end. It was like, you know, 55 minutes into the episode before anybody even got to the mat, it seemed like. And then everybody just got there in a very short period of time.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel kind of bad for Jeff and Jackie because this was a tight leg and there was not going to be a whole lot of margin for error there.
Did you feel like Phil was a bit abrupt with them?
You know, Phil responded to us on this.
Yes.
Someone tweeted at us saying, did you think Phil was short? And Phil responded, he said, the episode's only 44 minutes long.
44 minutes long, there you go.
So I think maybe he was saying he got a little edited.
Okay, so they really just go typically, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jess, that, you know, it's Jackie and Jeff, I regret to inform you. You are the last team to arrive and like, oh man, you know.
And I'm sorry to tell you that you have been eliminated from the race.
Yes.
This time he's just like, yeah, you're out.
He's like, all right, peace out. Yeah.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Au revoir. Yes. Thank you. And so they were gone.
Yeah. It was, you know, it was almost as suddenly as they had arrived.
Merci beaucoup. That's it. And now, so they were gone. A little bit of a montage for Jackie and Jeffrey.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't milk that shot of them kissing again. Like, I thought we were going to see that a bunch of times.
Now, Jackie said that she would give Jeff her number.
Yeah, well, it bodes well. They seem pretty into each other.
I mean, I'll give him my number is pretty tame, right? I mean, it's like, what are the chances... Like, I feel like even Bergen and Kurt exchanged phone numbers at the end of the race, right?
Did they? they might have friended each other on Instagram, but I think that's about as far as the friendship
went. On Instagram, that's it?
Yeah. I don't even know if they merited Facebook.
Like, that's pretty tame. I'll give you my phone number.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe they want to, now that they're out of the craziness of the race, maybe they want to get to know each other organically.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll see ultimately what ends up happening with Jackie and Jeff in the future. All right, so let's just talk about the construction of this leg a little bit. So we got the teams, they were getting on these flights. Kudos to Mike and Rochelle for getting on the standby flight, Jess.
Yeah, that was really smart thinking. And that was, again, that's kind of old school Amazing Race that they even had the opportunity to get there and do that.
Yes.
I really loved that. And I was excited because they had been pretty far behind. I think it was, if Kurt and Bergen hadn't been epically stupid, they would have been out for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they're saved by that. And then they had an opportunity to really move up. And I'm surprised that they ended up finishing so high in this week. Really? Weren't you surprised that they ended up being third place this week?
Yeah. Yeah. I was, especially, well, when they started out at the beginning, I thought maybe they were going to stay in the front the whole time. But then when they got to that detour and it became this kind of ordeal for them, I was really worried for their longevity in the race.
Yes. So then we end up going to the roses and chocolate task. Jess, did you like this test? Does this do anything for you?
I'm a big fan of roses and chocolate, so I'd be all up in that.
Wow.
If I had been the one doing the roadblock, I might have returned to the yacht with, you know, 6 or 7 chocolates.
Yes. Okay. Could you eat the chocolates while you were on the task?
No, I believe you had to deliver a full box of chocolates. And after that, you were allowed to eat them if you wanted. If the person that received them was willing to share, I think is the case.
Was that what it was?
That's what it was.
Yeah.
They're their chocolates to do with as they please.
Okay. So after the roses and chocolates, it was like, okay, that was fine. But I didn't think there was a lot to see there. Other than the visuals of the guys who stayed back at the yacht and the women that were out looking for the roses and chocolate.
Yeah, they looked like they were in the video for I'm on a Boat.
Yeah, everybody was hanging back. So this was interesting to me, Jess. So they go to the casino, and in the casino, they ended up having to decide which leg of the detour they were going on based on the roulette wheel, or the roulette wheel decided. And you got either don't slack off or win by a nose. Did you like this?
I thought it was very interesting. And I think as we saw what they were, we got a sense of why they did this. And we saw this a lot last season, too, where they just say, here are your detour options. You
this
may choose
or
this
that.
Or that. Yes, it's exactly that. And I think it's because the show producers wanted to showcase both of these tasks because they were both great tasks. But they really were concerned that if you give them those two tasks, everybody's going to do one task and nobody's going to do the other task.
Yeah. What do you think everybody was going to do?
Everybody was clearly going to do the zip lining.
Yeah.
And nobody would have done the perfume, which, you know, it looked a lot harder. It sounded a lot harder when you heard the description.
Oh, I think it was a lot harder.
Yeah, I think it definitely was.
Like, I think the zip lining, you could have just gone there and banged it out.
Yeah, I think you could have. And I'm pretty sure if you got to choose, almost everybody would choose that.
Yeah. And now, Jess, were you allowed to switch between the two once one of them started?
See, I'm not clear about that, but my feeling is, and I haven't looked up where these places were or how far apart they were, but I'm guessing that since you had to go to an entirely, like, the next town over, you had to leave the country of Monaco and go to the town of, as Jelani put it, Easy E, to get to the perfume task.
Yes.
I think that the zip lining was in an entirely different town. So if you were going to switch, you had to commit to that switching pretty hard. And I think that it would have been impractical.
Yeah. So it would have been tough because nobody switched. And with all the difficulties that, say, Mike and Rochelle were having, you would have think that they would have been prime candidates to switch.
Yeah, but if you have to drive like 45 minutes to get to the other task, you're not going to switch regardless of whether or not you can.
Yeah. Okay. So a couple of the teams really got through the zip line task fast. We saw Jelani and Jenny do the zip line, and we saw that it was Jenny was loving it.
Yeah, well, it looked like a lot of fun.
Yes.
Although, honestly, I think they would have had a lot more trouble with it if they had seen season 25. Which was airing while they were out doing this. So
when,
they did
when
not get
Jim
to see,
fell off.
Yeah. They did not get to see Jim. And I think if I had seen Jim and then had to go do this, I think it would have been a lot tougher.
Yeah. Why? Just like knowing that that was real, that you can fall off.
Yeah. That it's possible. And like that was one of the more terrifying things I've ever seen on the show.
Yeah, that was tough. Then also Matt and Ashley, they also did the zip lining task.
Yeah, they looked like they were having a pretty good time. I loved Ashley sitting on the rocks saying, come to your fiance. That was adorable.
Yeah. Were they the only two that did that? Or was there, am I missing somebody else?
Jeff and Jackie did it. Jelani and Jenny did it. And Matt and Ashley did it.
Okay. Jeff and Jackie were on.
They were on the zip line.
Zip line. Got it. And so for Jeff and Jackie, where do you feel like it ultimately went wrong for them?
I think it just boiled down to getting lost. Like, I would be shocked if they were more than 10 minutes behind the next to last place team.
Yeah. Because it seemed like there were other teams that had bigger problems with the directions.
Yeah. It seemed like almost everybody got lost.
Yes. All right. Let's talk about the perfume challenge. The, what was it? The, win by the nose?
Yes. Win by a nose.
Win by a nose. And you had to make your own perfume. And if that wasn't hard enough, then there were also ingredients that were like labeled in separate bottles with numbers, and then you had to guess the smells. Did they make this task too hard, Jess?
They might have made it a little bit too hard. I think maybe they counted on people being able to figure out those numbers. Because I feel like the strategy here is if you know that you don't have all the ingredients, like collect all your ingredients. If one of them on the list is missing and you need to sniff some numbers, keep your nose fresh until you know that you don't need it anymore.
Does your nose get tired?
Yes, your nose does get tired. And really, I have read that your nose is really only good for differentiating about three strong scents before they all start to blend together.
Hmm.
And I have visited in Western Mass, up by where I went to college, there is the Yankee Candle Factory. And it is basically like there's a giant room full of like hundreds of flavors of candles. And they have next to all the candles, they have a little thing of coffee beans, because they say after you smell three or four candles, you need to smell the coffee beans to like clear your head. Otherwise, you won't be able to smell anything.
Interesting.
So I'm guessing that once they started smelling stuff.
Is that why they tell you to wake up and smell the coffee?
Yes, that's exactly why.
So then you could go back to smelling other things?
Yeah, wake up and smell the coffee so you can go back to smelling other things.
That's the longer version of the expression.
Yeah, take notes, Starbucks. We're selling you gold slogans here.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's what was going on there.
Because in fairness, Starbucks could use all the help they can get on new slogans.
It's true.
They're striking out on their own.
Yeah, they're really not doing well this season.
Yes. Wake up and smell the coffee then so you could go back to smelling other things would not be the worst slogan they came up with this year.
Definitely not. But, you know, speaking of racing together, let's get back to the topic at hand.
Well done.
I think they just got there. I think after a while when you're smelling mystery scents, a thing to do is get all your ingredients before you smell a thing. Make sure you have all your ingredients lined up in front of you.
Yeah.
And then make your perfume. Because otherwise, you're going to get very confused very fast. And I think that might have been where Mike and Rochelle went wrong.
Okay. On a night when Blaley comes in first place, there was a new bickering team that really came to the forefront this week. And that was our friends Jenny and Jelani.
Which I knew they always had it in them.
Yeah.
And we just haven't, they've been kind of a stealth team this season. We haven't seen a lot of them. I kind of have to keep reminding myself that they're there.
Was this week a low for Jenny and Jelani? Was this the worst that we've seen them go at it this season?
I don't know. They had a tough time in Thailand.
Yeah.
And they seemed very tense and kind of cross with each other at that point. And I think they were more lost at that point than they were this week.
Yes.
And with the added stress of like Jenny hating cats, I think they were in direr straits at that point.
Yeah, but this was tough this week also.
Yeah, it wasn't their best showing for sure.
Yeah, that was a struggle. That was very much a struggle. Let's highlight a couple of the other teams that are still in the mix here as we head towards the final six. Allie and Steve, just sort of under the radar, right?
Yeah, Steady under the radar, Eddie. Quietly competent.
Quietly competent. And do you feel like, are they the number one contender right now?
I think they're very much front runners.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, but I think something really seriously wrong would have to happen to them in order for them not to have a real shot at winning.
Okay. Let's talk about Mike and Rochelle.
Okay.
All right. So they've been a team that's been sort of out at the back of the pack for most of the season. They end up coming in third this week. Do you feel like they're a team that could potentially start to figure things out and make a move this season? Or do you think that they're probably much more likely to be the next team that we see go home?
Okay. Why is everybody forgetting that Mike and Rochelle have won a leg? They are pretty decent when they have it together. I don't think they're a weak team.
Rochelle was being a little short with Mike this week.
She definitely was. And you could definitely see where they've only been together for 7 months.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he asked her, can you please not be short with me? And that looked like a look that I get from my wife. If I ask her, could you please not be short with me?
Yeah, that's definitely, it's something I have seen as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why does that not work, Jess?
I don't know. It should work. It
should work. Especially say, please.
Just asking a question, man.
Yes. I don't know why that doesn't work. So
but I think Mike and Rochelle are one of those teams that you see them, you take a look at them, and you think they have no prayer. Like, they have no shot at winning, and they surprise you with how well they can do when they really apply themselves.
Okay. Why? What did you feel like they really applied themselves to this week? The Cologne?
I think they showed amazing. Okay, I was going to say they showed amazing racing abilities, and that's not where I wanted to take that. But I thought they were really excellent in the airport. They have travel skills. They were incredibly smart to try to hop on that flight standby when they got there at the last minute, and it really bought them a lot of time. And I was quite impressed. Those are the kinds of skills they used to be more important than they are now, but they're still very important.
Okay. All right. So we'll see where they end up. Is next week the 2-hour episode yet?
Next week is the 2-hour episode.
Okay. So do you think that we'll do a non-elimination leg in the first hour and then an elimination leg in the second?
I think one of those legs is going to be non-elimination, and I don't know which one it is yet, but if it's the one in the middle, that would be ideal.
Kind of nice. That would be the smart way to do it. CBS, if they do it the other way around, then they've lost their minds.
Yeah, I would love it. Well, I don't think they planned necessarily for it to air the way that it has aired.
But I don't think
they necessarily filmed it with an eye to having to take 3 weeks off.
Right. Is that a CBS pun?
Yeah. So we'll go ahead and say that was intentional. I meant to do that.
But CBS, is that a Pee Wee Herman reference? But CBS gets to pick the night that has the double episode. So,
yeah, they do.
So why not do the double episode on a week where you could do part one is a non-elimination leg and part two is the detour or the speed bump and then the elimination?
It'd be smart. And it'd be smart to make it a super leg, actually, if you were really planning that. But I don't think they were really super planning it.
I don't think they knew that far in advance. Okay, let's touch on a couple of these other teams that we haven't talked about too much. How about Tyler and Laura?
Yeah, they all have, like, that's such a girl born in the 80s kind of name, isn't it? I thought that Tyler and Laura ran an okay leg this week, but I could see some cracks forming that I hadn't seen before. Like, usually we talk about how well they get along and how they just kind of ride along smoothly, but this week you could see them getting frustrated, and it was a different look for them.
Because they were dressed up so nice?
Yeah, it wasn't even because they were dressed up nice. And they looked great.
And that they were referring to each other by their bougie middle names?
That was the best. Like, I want to see the spinoff show of, like, the adventures of Magdalena and Hayes.
Would Magdalena and Hayes have been a better blind date team?
I don't know that Magdalena and Hayes have the life skills necessary to get this far in the Amazing Race. They'd be waiting for their driver to show up.
Yes. And what is their combined name? Is it Hagdalena?
Yeah, or it's Magdalays.
Magdalays. What is your bougie middle name, Jess?
I don't have a bougie middle name because I grew up in the Midwest, and they don't give you bougie middle names in the Midwest.
What is your middle name?
My actual middle name is Sue.
Sue?
Yeah.
That's not bougie. It's Suji.
No. No, it's my mom's name. So
yes.
There you go. What's your middle name, Rob?
My middle name is Christopher.
Okay.
And it's Christopher with a K.
With a K, really?
Yes. Is that bougie?
That's not bougie. It reminds me of the movie Frozen.
Frozen? Why? Is in Frozen?
His name is Kristoff, I guess, with a K.
Yeah, I'm like Cindy with an S.
Yeah, that's unique. I mean, my husband has the most bougie middle name of anybody ever. His middle name is Caswell.
Caswell, that is... Yes. We'll sign off on that.
Yeah.
That is bougie middle name. Yes. Okay. So very, very interesting. We're learning so much tonight on the Amazing Race podcast. Let's educate us about Matt and Ashley tonight.
Matt and Ashley, I mean, what can you really say about Matt and Ashley this week? I thought that they were going to do a lot worse than they did.
Yeah. They were on the last flight, right? They screwed up the flights.
As soon as you screw up a flight, like, that's almost an immediate sign.
But then that didn't really pay off in any way on the show.
No, it didn't. And I thought it was kind of a red herring because sometimes, you know, they get on that last flight and you think, oh, they're going to catch up. And then it turns out they never had a prayer. you know, the Jonathan and Harley edit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it was not Chekhov's late flight.
No, it was not Chekhov's late flight.
Okay. Jess, anything else from the episode before we get to questions?
Anything else from the episode? I don't think so. I think we did pretty well covering all the high points. We have not on the air made any turned out to me niece jokes.
Yes, but I made a few on Twitter, but I did.
Yeah, and we were kind of going at it on the Periscope before the show.
This leg of the Amazing Race did turn out to me niece.
Yes.
So just big picture here. We're about the halfway point. There's typically, 11 episodes in the Amazing Race season. This was episode 6. So a little bit past the halfway point. What's the narrative overall on this season? Are we just halfway on our way to an Allie and Steve Team Sochi win on the blind date Amazing Race?
It can't be that simple. I think we're going to see. I mean, we haven't had a team. We've had teams in the past win like every single leg. And you think that their win is going to be a foregone conclusion. And sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. Like, you have those sort of Dave and Rachel kind of teams that just sort of steamroll over everybody. And Steve and Allie have not done that. They've won a leg and they've been pretty solid, but everybody is pretty solid.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're looking at this sort of anticlimactic fizzle out of an ending. I think we still have the potential to have a really exciting season.
Would it be poetic if a blind date team were to win the season? Would that be more fitting? Okay. And so who is the blind date team that can win this this season? And here are our nominees. The nominees are Tyler and Laura, Jelani and Jenny, or Team Blaley. RX for success.
RX for
the
dark
number
horse.
One, the number one team in the clubhouse right now.
I don't know. They mean they won the leg, but you know. I think if we're doing blind date power rankings, there's no way you don't put Tyler and Laura in the number one slot.
Yes, that's true.
But I think, honestly, I think the most exciting and most interesting outcome would be if Blair and Haley won.
Is that a possible outcome?
Think about that. It's the most epic redemption arc that has ever happened.
It would be. It would be. They were low. They hated each other. They came close to being eliminated once or twice too, right?
Yeah, they did. And this week they said, we're not going to fight with each other. We're going to have a fun leg. And they had a fun leg and they ended up winning. And they're getting along. They kind of like each other this week.
Kind of like each other. Okay. Could be.
What if they found love and won $1 million? My head would explode.
Wow. Yeah. That would be a very bittersweet prize for Blair.
Yeah, that'd be something else. That would turn out to them very nice indeed.
Okay, let's take some questions here, Jess, here on the Amazing Race Rehab Up Show. And let's start off here tonight with a question that is from a Dominic Pell, who says, isn't it against the rule to book two sets of tickets? How come Mike and Ro could change their flight, Jess? Explain.
Did they have the original flight or were they about to book it and they saw the other flight?
Are you allowed to book standby tickets? Is that an exception?
That could be the exception, but I thought that I think he's right that the rule is you can only have one set of tickets in your hand at a time.
Okay. So did they buy standby tickets and then cancel their old tickets?
I'm not sure. I'm really going to have to go back and watch that, but I think my feeling is they must not have bought the first set of tickets, but I don't know for sure.
Okay. All right. So let's go to RFM7846. Does the roulette wheel choosing the detour take away a fundamental part of the detour in choosing which task you want to do? Last season, of course, we talked about this or that, Jess. This is different than this or that. This is the Amazing Race or Lady Luck in this instance, deciding which detour you do.
Yeah, and I don't mind it. I would hate it if they did it every single leg, but doing that every so often, I think luck has always played a major role in the Amazing Race, and this is just one other facet of that.
Okay. All right. It was definitely fun visually. Mark Slayer says, who was the best dressed and why was it Mike? I believe just you were anti-Mike's dress.
Well, you know that Mark Slayer is just doing this to needle me. But
he's pushing your buttons.
Yes. Mark Solera, the pesky younger brother of Rob Has a Planet.
Yes. So who was the best dressed in your mind then?
I thought Tyler looked like a hip hop mogul.
A hip hop mogul?
Yes. And I thought that I really loved, I think it was Laura who had the black dress with the silver going up the side. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah. I know Ashley didn't like her dress. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it.
No, I thought she looked great. I thought Jenny looked great.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, really everybody looked good.
Yes. Jenny looked very nice also. Jackie looked nice. Everybody looked nice. Even Mike.
Yeah. Looking nice in Nice.
Yes. Even his corduroy.
Even in corduroy.
Okay.
He looked very dapper.
Good. All right. Nick 2S says, so was this the most lost every single team must have been for Haley and Blair to get first? Is this an indictment of the other teams that Team Blaley came in first?
Well, to be honest, I have not seen that many teams get lost at the same time in a very long time. So, you know, there was a little bit of Haley and Blair maybe didn't necessarily win the leg so much as everybody else lost it.
They got the least lost.
Yeah.
Okay.
They kind of screwed up the least.
Is this a reason not to go to Monaco?
I think it's a reason. I think typically what happens when you go to Monaco is you're not driving yourself.
Yes. Okay. Fair enough. A lot of millionaires there. Gary Hogan wants to know, odds are the winning team does not take that trip together.
Yeah, I'm going to say the odds are pretty slim on that.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's take a question from Jer Martin, who wants to say, was this the first time this season that they balanced the difficulty of one detour and the road from the pit stop to the other detour?
I'm glad he caught that because I was thinking about that and I forgot to bring it up earlier.
Okay.
It looked a lot like the pit stop and the perfume detour were in the same town and the zip lining was a town over.
Okay.
And I think that must have been done to balance out the difficulty.
Good. So you like that?
I think if that's the way you're going to play it, I think we have seen in the past a lot of teams just kind of go for one detour because it's closer by without really regarding what it actually entails. So I think this is okay.
Okay. Let's take another question from George Wise. What was a bigger influence on the close finish? The detours being closer in time taken than they seemed, or everybody getting lost, Jess?
I think everybody getting lost was the main factor in the finish order this week.
Yeah. Everybody was definitely lost. I did feel like that perfume task was very difficult. That was challenging.
Yeah, I think... Well, when I first saw it, I thought it was going to be much easier than it turned out to be.
Yeah. No, it turned out to me hard.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Air Sonic, Blair and Haley got screen time before Allie and Steve even depart. No bickering and they win. If they make it to the final three, will it be the biggest redemption arc ever? I heard that it would.
I think I'm just going to go all in on this. I want Blair and Haley to win because it's the most interesting outcome.
Wow.
I have gone on record now as saying that, and I'm gonna stick to that.
Okay. Jess, Keith Dixon wants to know, what is your bougie name for when you make a trip to Monaco? All right, we talked about last names. What would your, do you have a bougie name, Jess?
I don't have a bougie name. I gotta think of something. I mean, my middle name's clearly not gonna cut it, but if I stretched it out, if I became like Susanna or something, that might work. That might work.
Yes. What would my bougie name be?
I don't know. Could you like style yourself as some kind of foreign dignitary and like just kind of call yourself like Robert?
Robert, that would be pretty bougie. That would be pretty bougie.
I don't know. Is that bougie or Eurotrash? I don't know. Bougie,
I think it's Eurotrash. What's the difference? Nathan wants to know, just out of interest, do you think it would be possible for a team to skip everything except for the detour and still not get last place? Because think about it. In theory, it'd only be a 6-hour penalty, and it could be possible. Just should a team just skip all the tasks?
Teams should never skip all the tasks, but it has happened.
Yeah, but how would you know where the pit stop is?
It happened in the recent season of Amazing Race Canada. There was a team that quit both tasks, and because another team ended up dislocating their shoulder, they ended up staying in the race.
Yeah, but how would you know where to go next?
Because you would tell the task judge, I'm quitting the task and taking the penalty. And you either then you sit out the penalty right there or you go to the pit stop, depending. And the task judge has the clue that tells you where to go next.
Interesting.
Okay. So in the case of the team Rex and Bob who quit two tasks on Amazing Race Canada, they sat there at the challenge for a while and then they went to the pit stop and they sat at the pit stop for the requisite amount of time. And finally, John went up to them and said, yeah, the other team is not checking in. They are injured. They can't continue. You guys are still in it, but you suck.
They're like, ha ha, in your face. We didn't do anything, John.
Yeah, basically.
Ha ha ha. That's like the Sean Connery Celebrity Jeopardy when he like gets one right.
It really is. It's like, yeah, suck it, Trebek.
Yeah, suck it, Trebek. We didn't have to do anything this leg.
I've gotten the better of you, Montgomery.
So this is from Kilo Fox 2 wants to say, I guess the teams did not have to drive a stick in Monaco. They'd still be there. Well, it looks like they did have to drive a stick shift because Jenny and Jelani were fighting about it.
Yeah. Can we reflect for a minute on the delicious irony of all the teams being given a Ford Fiesta to drive in Monaco?
Yes. Feel free.
Because the Ford Fiesta is basically, it's like, if you win a car, the car of your choice from the Amazing Race catalog of Fords, you do not choose the Fiesta. It's basically their budget compact car. And the fact that they gave it to them in Monaco when everybody is going to be driving like a Mercedes or a Lexus or a Porsche or something very high end that I probably am not even aware of because I am so middle class. That's pretty hilarious. Like nobody else is driving a Ford out there.
First off, I didn't know you were so familiar on all the different car makes.
I'm not really. I don't even drive because I live in New York City, but I've been places where we've rented a car and the Ford Fiesta is basically.
So you're familiar with all like the
rent.
Mid-size yes. models. Okay.
Mid-size sedan, I'm good.
Yes. And it was funny though, because they kept showing like the front of the hotel and it was like, you know, red Ferrari, red Ferrari, red Ferrari, red Ferrari. And then out like pulls up like a silver Fiesta.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't have to like go to the top of a parking garage to get it too.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take some more questions. JJ Rules 07 says, do you think the next eliminations will be blind date consecutively like in Australia versus New Zealand? Is that what you're thinking, yeah, Jess?
I don't think correlation implies causation in any way. I think it's very hard to tell who's really cannon fodder in this because I think everybody is doing pretty well.
Okay. Let's take a couple more questions. Too Real says, isn't the point of a detour that you aren't stuck in one task and you have a choice, Jess?
You know, you do, but I think technically you probably could have switched detours if you wanted to, but you wouldn't want to.
Yeah. Let's take a question from Jer Martin says, why didn't they show us how the Ford Focus is manufactured? The drastic cut of product placement compared to last week is a bit strange. It was staggering, Jess.
Are you guys saying that you want more product placement?
Don't you want to know how the perfume task was made, Jess? How many hours did that take to set up?
I would love to see someone walk out onto the pavilion and put the bottles down and say, this is how we made the task.
Yes.
We set up a card table and we put a lady behind it and we set up some bottles.
Yeah. Production crews spent 35 minutes building tables, filling bottles, putting syringes. Teams worked round a portion of the clock for before a lunch break to make everything just so for this task.
This might have been one of the rare tasks that took less time to set up than it did to perform.
Maybe. Okay. Bob Abui? Is that what we're going to go with?
I guess we're going with that.
Sure. I like that the teams didn't get to pick a detour. Has it ever happened before the detour was so random? Have we done this before, Jess? I know we talked about this or that, but you get this detour.
It's never happened exactly like that, but it did happen twice last season where you were pretty much blindly assigned one. Like there was this or that, and then there was the armor and the pole. And that was also because one of the tasks was so hard that nobody was going to stick with it.
Yes.
And so people that tried the poll, basically they just drew the wrong card.
Let me ask you a question, Jess.
Okay.
How much does the future of the Amazing Race depend on Ford being a sponsor?
I think they could probably continue without Ford as a sponsor, but it certainly helps them that they've got a company that's willing to underwrite the show so dramatically.
I feel like as long as Ford wants to continue sponsoring the show, I feel like the show will continue to go on. I feel like the worst thing that could happen for the Amazing Race would be for Ford to say, we're out of the Amazing Race business.
I think the takeaway from this is that everyone needs to go out and buy a Ford so that Ford knows that their advertising on the Amazing Race is working.
If at the very least, if you're an Amazing Race fan and you don't want to see the Amazing Race go anywhere, I would be tweeting about how you are considering buying a Ford because you saw it on the Amazing Race. I'd be working on that tweet right now. Man, Ford Fiesta hashtag or at Ford. What should they do?
I don't know. What is the Twitter of Ford? Is it just Ford?
At Ford hashtag Ford Fiesta is the coolest car I've ever seen. I would buy it after I saw it on the hashtag Amazing Race. I would be working on that.
It is just Ford. It's at Ford. So
at Ford hashtag Ford Fiesta. Review. Yes. Tell them how much you love seeing it on the Amazing Race. All right. Mr. Air Sonic. Do people still think this is a bad season? In my opinion, it's been one of the best. Good tasks, good locations, good teams, bickering, great TV from Haley. All we need is that one meltdown every season has to put the cherry on the top. Jess, is this a bad season of the Amazing Race?
I got to be honest. This is not a bad season of the Amazing Race. And I was very down on this season in the beginning. I said it had the potential to be the worst ever, and it didn't get a great start, but I am warming up to it, especially after this week. I'm prepared to say that I am having a great time watching it.
Wow. Look at you, Jess.
Jesse
Sunshine. Possible? You're like Steven Fishback right now.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, I feel like there's a winner's edit in my heart, and the winner's edit is going out to all the
Blaley.
American people. Yes. Okay. Blaley.
All right. Let's do one last question here with Jesse Sunshine. Okay, this is from Scott Grimes. More romantic German love songs or flowers and chocolate? I think I know your answer, Jess.
Flowers and chocolate. You can't eat a German love song.
Yes. All right. Great job. Jess, have you had inspiration about what you're going to blog about this week?
I don't yet, but I wanted to throw out a couple of random little tidbits of fun news from the world of Amazing Race social media.
Please
before
do.
We go, if I
please,
may.
Please do.
There's a couple of viewing parties and hangouts happening out in the world of Amazing Racers. This week, Jackie flew in and watched the episode with Jeff and Haley. They had a party and they FaceTimed with Blair. It looked like a really great time. And also, Jonathan and Harley had a special visitor this week. In the form of one of their old 90s pop star contemporaries, Debbie Gibson stopped by.
And
they were all hanging out. She looks amazing. She looks like she did when I was listening to her back in the day.
You know you want it. You know you need it. Crystal Light.
Oh, my God.
That's my favorite Debbie Gibson song.
Well, yeah, I guess I didn't watch her season of Celebrity Apprentice, so I was not prepared for how great she looks. So that was fun.
Yes.
I was glad to see like a little mini reality reunion in the 90s pop star world.
It's all happening. Okay. That's very cool. So Jess and I are still in the process of figuring out exactly what we're going to do with the exit interview coming up this Monday. I am headed to Vegas for New Media Expo and the Podcast Awards, but we'll figure it out. Either some comedy, either myself or Jessica. Maybe who knows? We'll talk with Jeff and Jackie coming up this week.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We want to bring that to you.
We'll figure it out. We need to know what's going on there. If we're still shipping them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's mainly what we're going to ask them.
Yes. Yes. We'll do 15 minutes about their relationship and when they're having kids.
Basically.
Yes. And then also check out Jess's blog at robhaswebsite.com. And then
that's right.
Yeah. And then so much else going on. We did the big Survivor podcast yesterday, did our Survivor exit interview. We've got Spice and Hour coming up as well next week. Then we'll get back into the Survivor. We have our Game of Thrones. I know it's Jess's favorite show outside of The Amazing Race, right?
It's my favorite show that I don't cover.
Yes. And we are going to be talking about that on post-show recaps. Josh and Antonio will have the premiere at 10:15 p.m. Eastern on Sunday night at postshowrecaps.com.
And also, yes, this week, Mike Bloom and I are going to be talking about Orphan Black, which is having its premiere.
Yes. Yes.
So that's going to be a thing that's happening. If you guys want us to cover it all season, get on the horn to post-show recaps and make it known.
Yes. So, Jess, if people have Orphan Black questions for you, what should they do?
They should tweet them at me.
Tweet them to
at... I'm still... Tweet them to at Haymaker Hattie.
At Haymaker Hattie.
Okay. You can also ask me questions about other shows. You may ask me all the Amazing Race questions you want. I don't need to tell you that. You do it anyway.
Okay. Of course... we need a hashtag for this episode, Jess. What do you got?
We have so many contenders.
We have a lot of contenders. What do you want to go with?
I've got hashtag YachtTube. I have hashtag MonacoTard. I have hashtag RX4Disaster.
Yes.
Hashtag SuckItMontgomery. I have hashtag Jesse Sunshine.
Jesse Sunshine. I also got hashtag Silver Fiesta.
Yes, hashtag Silver Fiesta.
So what do you
hashtag Dapper Corduroy?
Dapper Corduroy. What do you want to do?
I think I'm gonna go with hashtag RX4Disaster.
RX4Disaster. I'm a little scared of YachtTube. I think we need to research that. Google that before we pick that.
A little scared
of
MonacoTard, to be honest.
MonacoTard, yes. Yes, that could go.
We've had so many hashtag options this week that if you wanted to tweet them all at us, you would run out of characters.
RX4Disaster. All right. Jess, great job this week.
Great job to you this week, Rob.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.